Welcome back, everyone, to another deep dive. This time, we're going to step into the legal ring.
Yeah.
For a case that'll really make you look at contract law.
Oh, yeah.
In a whole new way.
It's a fascinating one.
It all starts in 1926.
Buckle up.
With boxing on the rise and a champ named Jack Dempsey ready to fight.
A legend.
The Chicago Coliseum Club wanted to put on this
huge mega fight.
Dempsey versus Harry Wills.
A battle for the ages.
And they signed a contract with Dempsey that promised a fortune.
Oh, yeah. This contract was doozy.
Big money.
It really reveals how tricky it can be to prove damages.
When a contract falls apart.
When it goes down for the count, as we like to say.
Exactly. So we've got Dempsey, the world heavyweight champ.
The man himself.
Agreeing to this big fight in September of 26.
That's huge.
The contract had a $300,000 upfront payment for Dempsey. Plus 50% of anything over $2 million in profit.
I mean, come on.
That's big money.
And on top of that.
Yeah. He agreed not to fight anyone else before the main event.
He was supposed to be exclusive to them.
It was a big deal.
It was a carefully written agreement.
With all the terms.
All the ins and outs.
Laid out for what was supposed to be a historic fight.
It really was supposed to be.
But then.
Here comes the twist.
Dempsey throws a curveball that no one expected.
A real haymaker.
He decided he'd rather fight Gene Tunney instead.
Who would thought?
And he just tills the Coliseum Club. Just
casually.
With a telegram.
It was nothing.
The telegram almost sounds like he was just dismissing them.
Brushing them off.
Like it was nothing.
As you have no contract, he says.
It's just you stop kidding yourself and me also.
Can you believe the audacity?
I know, right?
Classic Dempsey, though. Gotta love him.
So that telegram is a perfect example of what's called repudiation of contract.
He basically said, see ya later to this legally binding agreement.
And just left the Coliseum Club high and dry. They'd already signed a contract with Wills for the fight.
They were all in.
And they had this promoter, Andrew Weisberg.
A big name.
Handling all the details.
All the logistics.
Just think of all the money and time they'd already put into this fight.
Oh, man, the marketing.
The venue.
The prep. The whole nine yards.
They weren't going to let Dempsey just walk away.
Oh, no. They were ready to fight back.
Their first move was to try and stop the Dempsey-Tunney fight.
Legally, of course.
They went to court in Indiana and actually got an injunction.
Which is a big deal.
It's a court order that tells Dempsey to hold off on the fight.
Basically saying, nope, not so fast.
But Dempsey, being the rebel he was,
always had to do things his way.
Ignored the injunction
and
went ahead with a Tunney fight anyway.
Classic Dempsey.
So the Coliseum Club took their case to a court in Illinois.
That's where the real legal battle began.
Looking for damages for Dempsey breaking the contract.
They wanted compensation.
You'd think they'd be in line for a huge payout,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it would, wouldn't you?
I mean, with all that potential lost revenue, all the expenses they had.
It's a lot of money on the line.
You'd think the court would give him a big sum.
It seems straightforward, right?
But
here's the catch.
That's not at all what happened.
It's a real twist.
The court looked at four different types of damages.
It gets interesting.
And the result might surprise you.
It definitely surprised a lot of people back then.
First up was lost profits.
The big one.
The Coliseum Club said they would have made a fortune from this fight.
I mean.
One witness even said they could have made $1.6 million in profit.
Just imagine.
But the court saw this as being way too uncertain.
It was all speculation.
There were just too many things that could affect how successful a fight would be.
The weather.
Promotion.
Sorts of things.
You never know.
So they said these lost profits were.
In their words.
Too speculative.
Basically, too hard to pin down a real number. So no big payout for the Coliseum Club.
Not on that front.
But what about all the money they'd already spent getting ready for the fight?
Right. What about all the expenses?
All the contracts, the promotion, all that.
Shouldn't Dempsey have to pay for all that?
It seems fair.
It does, doesn't it?
But that's where things get a bit tricky.
This is where the law gets a little bit...
murky.
Yeah, murky.
The court looked at those pre-contract expenses.
Including the agreement with Wills.
But decided they weren't directly related to Dempsey backing out.
It's all about causation in the law.
The court argued the Coliseum took a gamble by signing Wills.
Before they even had Dempsey, for sure.
It's like putting the cart before the horse.
Exactly.
They even pointed out that the Coliseum never actually paid the $50,000 they promised to Wills.
So they hadn't even fully committed on their end either.
It was a risk they took.
For sure.
So no lost profits.
Nope.
No pre-contract expenses.
Uh-huh.
I'm starting to see a pattern here.
A little.
Did they at least get anything back for all those legal fees?
Oh, the legal fees. That's another interesting point.
They spent a lot trying to enforce the contract, block that tunny fight.
It wasn't cheap.
It seems like they should be compensated for that, at least.
You'd think so, right?
It makes sense to me.
Unfortunately,
no.
The court said no.
Oh, come on.
They said those legal costs were a separate issue.
Right.
A separate battle.
Okay.
They argued those costs came about after Dempsey had already broken the contract.
So it's like trying to fix a broken jaw after the fight's already over.
Yeah, a bit too late.
So at this point,
it's not looking good for the Coliseum.
It feels like they're losing this legal fight.
They're getting pummeled.
Did they end up with nothing?
Well, not entirely.
Oh.
They did get some damages.
Okay.
But only for specific expenses they had after signing with Dempsey, but before he officially bailed in July of 26.
So just a small window.
Just a little sliver of time.
Like a consolation prize?
Yeah, almost like a little, sorry we messed you around gift.
So what kind of expenses are we talking about here?
We're not talking big bucks.
Did they at least get back some of their major costs?
Well, let's see. Remember that $300,000 signing bonus?
Oh, yeah.
The court said the Coliseum had to give that back to Dempsey.
Really?
Since the fight never happened.
Okay.
But they did get back that initial $10 they paid him when they signed the contract.
$10.
$10. So that... Plus $300 for some architect plans for Soldier Field.
$300.
And maybe some wages for an assistant secretary they'd hired.
You kidding?
And even travel expenses for Dempsey's medical exam.
Wait, so they got $10?
$10 and $300.
Pretty much.
After all that.
That's the law sometimes.
It seems like a tiny victory.
It does, doesn't it?
But the court's reasoning was clear.
They were very specific.
Damages have to be directly because of the breach.
Direct causation.
Proven with strong evidence.
No speculation. And they have to be from the time the contract was in effect.
Within that time frame.
So I'm realizing that proving damages is harder than it seems.
Oh, absolutely.
Even when it's clear that a contract was broken.
It's not always a slam dunk.
It's like you need a scorecard to keep up with all the legal rounds.
You gotta know the rules of a game.
And that's just round one.
Oh, yeah. There's more to come. You know, this case might seem like an easy win for the Coliseum Club at first glance.
Yeah.
But when you really dig into the legal details, it tells you a lot about how courts deal with damages when a contract is broken.
So let's break it down a bit more.
Okay.
What were the key legal ideas the court used to make its decision?
Well, one of the big ones is that damages have to be proven with a reasonable amount of certainty.
Okay.
The court wasn't convinced that the Coliseum Club could really say for sure that they would make $1.6 million in profit.
Right.
Or any specific amount, for that matter.
It was all just a what if.
Exactly. It was too hypothetical.
So you can't just claim a bunch of lost money.
Nope.
You need solid proof to back it up.
Evidence matters.
But what about those natural consequences of the breach?
Interesting point.
Wouldn't the Coliseum Club's expenses, like the contract with Wills, be considered a natural result of Dempsey backing out?
You're right to bring up the idea of natural consequences.
Yeah.
The breaching party should be responsible for damages that come directly from the breach.
Right.
But in this case, the court saw the Coliseum Club's expenses from before the contract as a risk they took themselves.
So by signing wills before, they had a solid agreement with Dempsey.
Exactly.
They were kind of jumping the gun.
A bit.
Putting the cart before the horse.
You got it.
The court seemed to think the Coliseum Club was a little too eager.
Maybe a little.
And should have waited to make those financial commitments.
Until Dempsey was fully on board.
It makes sense legally. But it still feels a bit unfair to punish them for trying to be prepared.
I get it.
They were trying to put on a huge event.
It was a big undertaking.
But what about those legal fees the Coliseum Club racked up?
Ah, yes. The legal fees.
Dempsey totally ignored a court order.
He did.
Shouldn't they be compensated for trying to hold him accountable?
It seems reasonable.
Yeah.
It does seem unfair that they wouldn't be reimbursed.
Mm.
But the court made a distinction between damages caused by the breach itself and those that came from actions taken after the breach.
So they're saying the Coliseum Club chose to go to court after Dempsey had already said he wasn't going to honor the contract.
Pretty much.
So are you saying that once a contract's broken, the injured party just has to accept it?
No, not at all.
Okay.
They have legal options.
Right.
But the court's point is
yeah.
you can't necessarily get damages back for things you do after the fact.
Especially if you're trying to force the other party to do what they said they'd do.
Exactly. You can't force someone to perform a service they no longer want to.
Like forcing Dempsey to fight.
Yeah, what kind of fight would that be?
Not a good one, I imagine.
Probably pretty lackluster.
It makes sense that you can't make someone do something they don't want to.
Right. The court was trying to find a balance
Okay.
between protecting the rights of the injured party and recognizing the realities of these personal service contracts.
This really shows how important it is to have clear contracts
Oh, absolutely.
and to think about the potential problems that might come up.
Foresight is key.
Yeah.
This case reminds us that even a simple contract breach can turn into a legal mess.
With lots of questions about
A
damages.
whole can of worms.
So after all that legal wrangling,
Back and forth.
the Coliseum Club got a few hundred dollars and a ton of legal bills.
That's pretty much it.
That's all.
It seems that way.
No other legal action.
Not that we know of.
So they basically got what's called nominal damages.
Bingo.
Nominal damages.
Yeah.
What does that even mean?
It's a small amount of money
Okay.
that's awarded just to acknowledge that a breach happened,
Okay.
even if the actual financial harm is hard to prove.
So like a symbolic victory.
Right.
They won legally, but didn't actually win in the end.
They didn't get the big payout they were hoping for.
Makes you wonder if the outcome would be different today.
It's an interesting question.
Would a modern court be more understanding of the Coliseum Club's situation?
It's worth thinking about.
Let's talk about that in our next segment.
Sounds good.
We'll explore how this case has impacted legal decisions since then
Okay.
and think about whether things might be different in today's legal world. Welcome back to our deep dive into the Chicago Coliseum Club v. Dempsey case.
It's a wild one.
We've seen how this contract breach turned into a legal battle
A real slugfest.
over damages, with the Coliseum Club technically winning, but
But not getting the big payout?
yeah, not the big payday they wanted.
It's not just a historical boxing match in the legal ring, though.
What do you mean?
Well, this Dempsey case is fascinating
Yeah.
because it still shapes contract law today. Oh, yeah, the ideas the court used are still cited in legal decisions.
So even though the Coliseum Club didn't get rich,
Right.
their case set an important precedent.
It did, absolutely.
It's amazing that a case from 1927
Almost 100 years ago,
is still relevant today.
it shows how enduring these legal principles are.
But let's play a little what if.
Okay.
If this happened today, would the outcome be different?
Would a modern court side with the Coliseum Club?
It's a good question.
It's tough to say for sure how a different court would rule,
Right.
but there are some things to think about.
Okay. I'm all ears.
Well, first of all, the legal world has changed since 1927.
Of course.
The basic ideas of contract law are pretty stable,
Yeah.
but some concepts have been refined and expanded.
Like what?
For instance, modern courts might consider things like lost opportunity costs
Interesting.
or damage to reputation when calculating damages.
So even though the Coliseum Club couldn't claim lost profits from the Dempsey Wills fight itself, they might have a better argument today for the opportunities they lost because Dempsey broke the contract.
Exactly. They could say they could have gotten another big fight or
Yeah.
done more promotion.
And they could say Dempsey hurt their reputation as a reliable promoter.
Which could affect future deals.
Those arguments might be more persuasive in a modern courtroom.
They might have more weight.
And wouldn't it be easier today to prove lost profits?
Good point.
We have so much data now.
Oh, yeah. Think about social media.
Ticket pre-sales?
All the ways we can analyze trends. That's a
Exactly.
whole different ball game.
Imagine if the Coliseum Club had all that data.
They could have made a much stronger case for their lost profits.
It's mind-blowing to think how technology and legal changes could change this whole story.
It really is.
It shows that the law is always evolving.
It has to adapt to new situations.
So what's the big lesson here for our listeners?
What can we learn from this case?
The bailing boxer and the Coliseum Club that got a legal black eye.
It reminds us that even when a contract is broken,
Yeah, proving damages can be really hard.
it's not as easy as it seems.
Nope. It's important to think about foreseeability when it comes to damages.
Foreseeability.
Meaning, could the person breaking the contract have reasonably known the harm their actions would cause?
So if the Coliseum Club had waited to sign wills until they had Dempsey, for sure,
Right.
their pre-contract expenses might have been seen as more foreseeable.
And therefore, recoverable.
It all comes down to having clear contracts
Oh, absolutely.
that cover all the bases.
And anticipate potential
A
problems
good contract can protect you.
and make it easier to prove damages if something goes wrong. Well, that's it for our deep dive into Chicago Coliseum Club v. Dempsey.
We've covered a lot of ground.
Your twists and turns, the legal principles, and the impact it's had.
It's a case with valuable lessons.
Whether you're a boxing promoter, a business owner, or just dealing with everyday agreements.
Understanding your rights and having solid contracts is crucial.
Thanks for joining us.
It's been a pleasure.
We'll see you next time for another deep dive into a fascinating topic.